is the voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here today, Thursday, on a cold day. It looks like winter is finally beginning. I looked at the forecast, and it stays around this temperature. But
yeah, there's no hope in sight.
Yeah, this is what our new reality is. And I'm not the biggest fan of winter, personally. I like when fall comes around. I like the football season starting. I like the cooler weather. Winter doesn't offer me much personally. The one thing that is important to me in winter is the St. Paul Winter Carnival Medallion Hunt. That's the one thing I get excited about when winter comes around. But
yeah, that's one of those things that I never have actually physically looked for it, but I've spent a good couple hours.
Join our team this year. My dad has done this every year for as long as I can remember. For at least the past 40 years, he's done this every single year. And he is phenomenal at deciphering the clues because he's done it so long. So yeah. He knows every little historical reference that they make and how they write the clues. So I never know anything, but I just follow them, and they're usually on top of it.
I mean, has he ever gotten close?
He has gotten close. He one year, it's funny, they were standing on top of it, and him and his partner were arguing about where to go, and there was some people watching them argue, and so they ended up dropping, they were drinking Baileys, and dropped their Baileys bottles where they were standing and started walking away, and the person walked over and said they found the medallion under the Baileys bottles.
Well, so that's what you get for littering.
That's what their crew is now known for, this because it's a tradition now for them to drink Baileys when they go on the hunt because they got so close that one year.
Yeah.
But yeah, that starts in January, kind of the middle of January. But come on out with us.
Yeah. I'm down. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is. It is fun. It's always a St. Paul Park. Or one year it was in White Bear Lake. That kind of threw us off.
I remember that. That sucked.
Yeah. And there was terrible clues that year, too. It was – they basically didn't, until the very final clue, give you anything where you could have found it. And then everyone had the exact same information, and it was a mad dash to it. So
That's the worst.
Yeah, that's no good.
Incredibly generic clues until then the last one is extremely specific.
Yeah, because then you're punishing all the people that actually are going out every night, making sense of the clues, but you're not rewarding them at all. You're just – it's a free-for-all at the end. And they did that because the year before it was found right away, so they didn't want it to be found.
Mm-hmm. So they were just clues like, oh, it's next to a tree.
Yeah. But my dad says that my name Hunter is because I'm a treasure hunter. But we don't know that. My mom would disagree.
So
and by the way, this is probably the first time my mom has ever listened to me do this show because we just got a radio at our house that works. Hi, Mom.
Welcome to the 20th century.
And Eric, you know my brother's name is Lucky, and he says Lucky has lived up to his name a lot faster than I have.
All right.
But we're taking your calls. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. Got open phone lines on anything you want to talk about today. But the first thing I want to get to is Amazon and the Amazon sweepstakes that ran through this country kind of over the spring, summer, fall, and they finally decided where they were putting their locations. But was this whole thing just a way to get information out of the cities? And did Amazon the entire time plan on going where they were going? It's a lot of cities made big concessions to hopefully allure Amazon into coming to them.
Yeah, huge. Huge.
Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York said, anything I can do that will get us over the top, anything they want named Amazon, I'll change my own name to Amazon.
That's good negotiating right there. What do you want?
The governor should be careful because he's going to be tied to that forever and tied to this Amazon deal and what it brings. The two winners, ended up being cities that Amazon needs more than the city needs Amazon. They have a lot of government contracts, so it makes sense for them to be in Washington, D.C. Their actual location is in Virginia, but very near to Washington, D.C., and the other location is in New York, so Governor Cuomo got his location. They have a huge media and advertising empire, so it just makes sense for them to also be in New York. But the CEO of Amazon has a very large home in New York, and he just recently this year bought a home in Washington, D.C. He also owns the local paper in Washington. So it comes to question, was this really a contest in the other 266 cities that get valuable information into alluring Amazon really have a shot ever? One of the reasons that these bids were expensive for the cities is they contained zoning plans and tax abatement offers. They also included all kinds of very granular data about various cities' economic development plans. And now that Amazon knows where highway interchanges are going to be in advance, they can buy land, build gas stations, restaurants, whatever you want to do. They can just kind of make out like a bandit. And this could be perhaps more valuable than the this is way more valuable than the $2.5 billion or whatever they got from New York and Washington's. They have logistical operations that they can put up all over the country. Physical bookstores, that's something they've been branching off into, so they'll know the exact locations where to put all these. It's going to be a jackpot for Amazon. And are we supposed to expect that Amazon is not going to exploit this data in any way?
It sounds like they did exactly that for the purposes of getting the data to exploit.
So we know that since these bids have came in and Amazon got the information, that they've done 15 or 16 deals for distribution centers and data centers that have already netted them $230 million. And some of these cities that put up bids for headquarters too are the location of these most of them are actually.
Yeah, I mean, you hear some of these offers that cities were offering Amazon to build their, not even headquarters, Headquarters 2,
yeah,
which is a nice little tricky name. But like Chicago was offering Amazon the right to control the state taxes of its employees. So the employees pay taxes to the state, and then Amazon gets control of that money. Basically, they're just giving the money that the employees pay for tax back to Amazon itself.
Then what good are you even doing to your city? I mean, you could say, I guess, the jobs that Amazon is creating. But then most of these jobs for Amazon headquarters, people move to fill them. So they're interviewing all over the country. They're not interviewing local candidates. So you're not even benefiting your current residents and constituents by doing things like that. There's a whole other aspect of this kind of economic subsidy or corporate welfare, whatever you want to call it, the value to the overall economy of the region, having thousands of new taxpayers and opportunities for local commerce, that's supposed to outweigh the government investment in the form of tax abatement, like you were saying, what Chicago would do. Like I said, they're making out of this.
And the cities are just giving the power to Amazon just willfully. It's bizarre.
It's like they got too excited.
They wanted to win, I guess.
Yeah. It became more than what the benefit would actually be by having Amazon there. And it just became we gotta win this. We got to win this. They politicians must have just fell in love with the idea of them bringing Amazon there and what that would mean for themselves in the future.
Yeah, I guess it looks good politically.
Yeah, I don't know. But,
you know how
but,
good it looks to bring TrumpCon to FoxCon to Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to talk about.
TrumpCon, yeah.
Next is it totally backfired in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin was making a big play for Amazon as well, and it's like you could see a parallel of Foxconn happening in Virginia or New York. Virginia would be especially susceptible to that kind of exploitation, but. I don't. Amazon. We were just talking before we came on air that Amazon seems to be the least noble of these giant technology companies. That they seem to be the one that really doesn't mind doing things to have a bad reputation and seem self-serving and having self-interest. Mm-hmm. And they tend to get away with it. I mean, they totally get away with it because no one kept them accountable on this at all. They just freely gave them everything, and now Amazon controls the future of all these cities, or at least holds in their hand all the plans to be able to take advantage as much as they want.
And it seems like we're all just acknowledging that's okay, you know, that this corporate entity is stronger than the government that it exists within.
Yeah, and they're... I can kind of understand when people put trust in something like Google because of how Google managed to kind of shape the world. That's not the right thing to do, but how Google kind of changed how we live our lives. But Amazon is literally just one giant consumer hub. It doesn't offer the same thing. It offers you to buy crap and the value of that. But the value of Amazon isn't at this point even the crap they sell. It's the data they have that now they have a lot more of it.
Yeah, it's the logistics and the distribution centers too.
Yeah, and which those are going to become way more valuable by being able to put them in the prime locations of where development is happening, where they'll be able to strike the biggest deals. And it's just Amazon comes out on top.
I mean, I don't trust a lot of, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies involved in the tech industry. But Amazon, like we were saying, is most specifically like not even trying to hide
their intentions. So what do you think of Amazon and potentially exploiting these 260-some cities, including our own Minneapolis? We got out kind of early. So I don't know exactly what we gave up because we didn't make it to that second round, so hopefully not as much as these other cities did. But give us a call. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Minnesota Care buy-in option here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, this is Paul Metza inviting all of you out there in AM 950 land to listen to my radio show, The Wall of Power Radio Hour, every weekend on AM 950. We feature musicians, actors, politicians, homicide cops, record stores, Metza walkumentaries. We've even had Bob Dylan's first drummer on Saturday nights at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. You can also follow it at paulmetza.com. The Wall of Power Radio Hour, cool people from all walks of life in all 50 states.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman for Continental Diamond. You've heard me talk about this place for a long time, and this holiday season, it's time to get your loved one a gift that will last a lifetime. Their experts know all the latest trends and will help you find the perfect gift to fit any budget with an amazing in-stock selection to choose from. Stay away from the craziness of the malls and visit Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com. That's Continental Diamond for the perfect holiday gift.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM 950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM 950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here this Thursday afternoon. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. And before I get to the Minnesota care buy-in option, I want to talk about something I noticed this afternoon. I follow a page called the Wellstone Memorial Action Fund. I believe it was shortened. It's just Wellstone Action, as the organization's called. But I got a notification that they changed their name to Re:Power. And I looked up, and the whole organization is kind of not, I wouldn't say being restructured, refocused to more modern causes going on, Me Too movement, some things like the Dakota Access Pipeline. So it's kind of modernizing their focus, but I don't know if I like the name change in dropping the Wellstone from the group, because that name is just so synonymous with Paul Wellstone, what he represented. And at this time, I think the memory of Paul Wellstone is a thing that should be brought into light more with the popularity Bernie Sanders had. Paul Wellstone was really the first Bernie Sanders of the Senate in the modern era, the 90s, 2000s, because Bernie was in the House at the time. So I wish them well, but I will be missing the Wellstone name from the organization.
Yeah, did they give any reasoning for that?
No, I couldn't see that. It looks like it's just more they're wanting to
move on,
modernize everything. It looks really hip and slick. He's been gone since 2002.
Okay, yeah, sometime around then.
But I know the energy around Paul Wellstone is still alive and well here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I've heard him mentioned more recently in the past couple of years than I had in the past 10.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. So that's just my thoughts. I don't know much about any of this. I just noticed it, and that was the feeling that I had. R.I.P. to Paul Wellstone forever. If you have any thoughts on Paul Wellstone, give us a call at 952-946-6205. I definitely would love to hear about that. But let's talk about the Minnesota buy-in care option. The rising cost of health care was kind of the number one issue on the campaign trail in Minnesota this year. And the new governor and state lawmakers expect to continue the conversation when the new legislation session starts in January. For DFL-elect Governor Tim Walz, that means looking at giving Minnesota the options to buy into public insurance the program known as Minnesota Care, and he could get support from the new DFL House members. But the buy-in option is not the same as a single-payer plan, even though they were often discussed in the same breath in the campaign trail, and I noticed that, especially after the primaries, and it was the debates with the Republicans, they would kind of conflate this to being the exact same thing. Nevertheless, the Republicans will still give this significant pushback from the Republican-controlled Senate, which they only control by one seat, and there are some very moderate Minnesota Senate Republicans. But first off, what even is Minnesota Care? In 1992, the Republican governor Arne Carlson and legislators teamed up to create Minnesota Care, a state-subsidized health insurance plan to cover low-income Minnesotans who work but don't qualify for medical assistance, the state's version of Medicaid. The program covers many of the same things as medical assistance, including doctor's visits, hospitalizations, prescription drugs, and therapy services. But to qualify for Minnesota Care, enrollees must be residents who fall within a certain income threshold. Enrollees pay monthly premiums to the state based on their income and family size, and the size of the program fluctuates. Right now, there are 88,000 people enrolled in Minnesota Care. So a Minnesota buy-in option. The idea would be for the program to open up to everyone on individual insurance marketplaces. So instead of only calling private insurance markets, you can look into this. And from my own experience, Minnesota Care is much cheaper than private insurance options.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. I'm on MinCare right now, and I don't know what I'd do without it.
Yeah. No, it's a lifeline for a lot of us.
And obviously this buy-in is going to be different, but I think that, you know, the more people in it, the better for everyone.
Yeah. Yep. I can agree with that, that my experience is Minnesota Care is phenomenal. But outgoing DFL Governor Mark Dayton has been pushing a version of the buy-in that would lift income restrictions on Minnesota Care, allowing the buy-up allowing anyone to buy insurance on the marketplace. The option to choose Minnesota Care buy-in under his plan, people who would elect the buy-in options would pay the monthly premiums. Wallace has been open to this similar plan. In 2017, the Dayton administration estimated his plan would cost an average of $469 per person per month, or $69 per month less than the average paid Minnesotan for commercial health plans. That's still a lot.
Yeah, I mean, health insurance is going to be expensive, yeah. No matter how you cut it.
So the Minnesota Care buy-in option, like I said, often talked about in tandem with single-payer health care, but they're not the same thing. Single-payer health care system is one where a single entity, the government, that provides coverage to all residents. The Minnesota Care buy-in option is not mandatory or the only option. It would be one selection available to residents on the individual market. But Tim Wallace has said he's open to a single-payer healthcare system in the future, but only if the federal government is on board. And that's an important thing to note, too, is that local Republicans, the Minnesota GOP, often criticizes the cost of this program. But Minnesota Care is not funded by the state of Minnesota. It's funded through the money received from the federal government. And we're entirely able to fund it that way, which is pretty phenomenal for how well the program works.
And just with my experience with MinCare, it's not through a state-owned insurance company. Private insurance companies. And you still have to pay money into those.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. They're typically, I've seen through Blue Cross Blue Shield and UCare and other of those private insurance options.
Which is probably my least favorite aspect of it. Just because that's the confusing part.
I have actually gotten really good coverage, and I haven't run into any problems.
My only issue was, you know, having to dig through all these different insurance plans. Some people think it's fun to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Hunt for the best plan.
I do not like that at all either myself. So like I said, federal government. And I am curious that how come in Minnesota we're able to have such a great program and other states have such terrible health programs if we're doing this entirely from federal money? Because I know Wisconsin, they're trying to implement something similar in Badger Care. It's like, where are their health care dollars going at the current moment? Like, it kind of blows me away to know that we're not spending the Minnesota tax revenue on this because of how well it works. And why doesn't every state in the country have something similar in place? And it must just be the state legislators do not want to put it that way. But where are they putting their funds instead? I wish people could experience what Minnesota's healthcare is like and then go back to their other states and be able to advocate based on that, because it's pretty good here. And it looks like now with Tim Walz as governor and the House, state House going blue, that our healthcare is just going to continue to improve and will be a pioneer for the rest of the country. Doing that with money allocated to us that the rest of the country receives as well. What are your thoughts on this? Our phone number is 952-946-6205. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson.
What are we going to do about the man in blue? What are we going to do?
Total Dog Company exists for people who are serious about their dogs. People who want the best nutrition and the best gear for their dogs. Total Dog Company's mission is to provide high-quality, practical food and gear for dogs and only dogs. Nothing frou-frou or frivolous. Nothing with suspect ingredients. No cat food or wild bird food. Totally dog, from head to wagging tail. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
It's just a few weeks before winter officially settles in. Is your home ready for the holidays? Now is the perfect time to get your entire home zero-resified by the cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get three rooms clean starting at just $149. You can also get $50 off your air duct cleaning when you call 952-0-RES, 952-0-RES, or book online anytime at ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hi, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. for some clarity, wit, and wisdom on the latest issues of the day here on AM 950. Today on the show with you-know-who obsessing on shutting down Russiagate and Mueller, it appears we're getting revelations by the day. Big news breaking all the time. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
There are lots of ways to stay comfortable in a Minnesota winter. Hot Cocoa Warm Socks and Standards Winter Comfort Sale, where you can save up to $2,090 on a brand new 96% energy efficient furnace. There's also great deals on a variety of other furnaces and boilers. Don't wait. Unlike winter, these deals end November 30th. Learn more about Standard's Winter Comfort Sale at standardheatingdeals.com/radio. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. You've all heard the song Santa Baby by Eartha Kitt. Did you know that Kitt was a big idealist? Or that she wasn't afraid to speak truth to power? I'll tell you more in my next show. Also, I'll give you the skinny on Tom Steyer, billionaire philanthropist who's now pushing the five rights. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here with you this Thursday afternoon. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. One thing I just wanted to touch on quick, but Nancy Pelosi won the party nomination to be Speaker of the House. She still has another confirmation to go through to become the Speaker. But I know that there were a lot of people upset with that and wanting to replace Nancy Pelosi. But my thoughts on this, the situation we were in, there was no one to Nancy Pelosi's left, unfortunately, running to be Speaker of the House. So there wasn't any way to vote for a candidate other than her that was more progressive. The other options were all blue dog Democrats that were far more conservative than Nancy Pelosi. And my other thoughts are that the GOP spends hundreds of millions of dollars trashing Nancy Pelosi. And in the reality of this session and 2018, 2019 with the Democratic majority, is they're there to resist legislation from the Republicans. They're not going to be able to pass any major federal legislation through the Republican Senate and have Trump sign it. So having a new, more progressive speaker for this session only gives them a leg up on the trashing they can do. And the thing that Nancy, the criticisms of Nancy Pelosi all seem to center around her being not progressive enough or too much of a capitalist or establishment Democrat. But people seem to recognize her legislative ability and being able to get things through, which I feel that aspect is kind of more important when you're in the position of being not the minority party, but the resistance party, I guess, to Trump. Eric, did you have any thoughts on Pelosi?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not thrilled with Pelosi becoming Speaker of the House, but like you said, there's no one else really as an option, and I don't expect anything to really get through either way.
That was, this wasn't going to be my fight because I realized the reality of the situation. Even before not having any progressive challengers, it was like, we're not going to be able to do that much in that regard.
And if you have to sacrifice someone, you know, Nancy Pelosi is a good sacrifice. Because, I mean, Congress is historically unpopular, I think now more than ever. But I think it's at like, last I saw, 20%, you know, Congress's popularity. So I don't know. If you have to sacrifice someone, I guess it's fine that it's her.
Noting the low popularity of Congress, it's these figures like Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, Charles Schumer in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan. They're the least popular of all the politicians.
Yeah, they're the figureheads for Congress, though.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that sentiment. What are your thoughts on Nancy Pelosi? I see some people are calling in. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. And I know this kind of put a couple of newly elected progressive candidates in a bind whether they were going to support Pelosi or not. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had to answer questions about this nonstop. And she basically said the same thing that I did, that there's no option for her to support left of Pelosi. So she's going to support the most progressive candidate they have. Ilhan Omar came out in support for Nancy Pelosi pretty early on in the process. It seems like they have some sort of relationship that I wasn't aware of because they posed together on the cover of Vanity Fair, which was cool. I posted it on the AM950 Facebook page if you want to take a look. But we have some calls coming in. Let's go to Julie in Minneapolis. Julie?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Say, I'll tell you, one of the things I'm very dissatisfied with Nancy Pelosi is she seems very reluctant and disinterested in prosecuting Trump or anyone else who deserves it. But I do want to say this. I believe the history of her speakership is that she got the speakership because she was such a fantastic fundraiser. And unfortunately, as we know, money is a big factor. I guess she raised about $100 million for congressional candidates this, you know, past election cycle. I know the Koch brothers said that they were putting in $300 million. I bet most of it went to the Senate. But unfortunately, we have to think about fundraising ability. Mm-hmm. What I would love to see is a progressive who's also a fantastic fundraiser and doesn't just rely on grassroots. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I think that's an important aspect to touch on. Thanks, Julie, for the call. Pelosi's a money machine. She's very good at this. She knows all the right people. One of the things that frustrated me most about her was she did some CNN town hall or something along those lines, and a young person asked her what her thoughts on democratic socialism were because of this big movement happening, and especially in young people's lives, embracing the idea of democratic socialists. And her answer was extremely cold. It was, we're capitalists. And so the fact that she is so good at fundraising, that's an appropriate answer for Pelosi. Let's talk to Randy in St. Cloud, who's also not happy with Pelosi. Randy?
Well, yeah, thanks, first off, for taking my call. And the thing that upsets me the most, first off, the reason that she's so powerful in the Democratic Party is she raises the most money. And that means she owes the most favors, because she's not raising that money from people like me. She's raising it from the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as legislative accomplishments, she did manage to pass Romney Care when we had a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic president. So that was pretty great.
You're using Romney Care colorfully?
Yeah.
What's that?
Are you using Romney Care colorfully?
No, but you make a good point, Randy. They had complete control of the politics of America, and they made so many concessions for them to get very little.
Well, yeah, and right off the bat, Max Baucus was the head of the committee doing that from the Senate, and he happened to be the senator who took the most money from health insurance and Big Pharma. So, of course, that didn't go anywhere for us.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing this up, actually, because I'm not, even though I'm saying that it's kind of not a big deal that she's elected, that that wasn't where my outrage is, we still should be bringing up all the bad reasons or things that Pelosi has done are characteristics of a Speaker of the House, because in 2020, we should elect a new Speaker of the House that is much more progressive and is not this mold that Pelosi is. But I am only saying that the kind of the situation we're in, she's not a bad Speaker to have.
Well, but the point that, you know, we're not going to get anything passed is true. However, I think at this time it might be really good to put forth legislation that progressives want, like, you know, Medicare for All or $15 minimum, or, you know, there's about 20 good pieces of legislation. And, okay, it's not going to pass, but you give the argument, you give the reasons, and then you make the Republicans vote on it.
Yes.
Because you can use that in 2020 when you're running for office.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Randy. And I'd like to make a note why it's important to do that. Even putting to the table legislation that isn't going to pass is Bernie Sanders has his entire career done this, and he was criticized for it. But by doing so, he has managed to enact change outside of the legislative process. He was able to get Amazon to agree to $15 an hour. He's able to get pay increases to millions of other Americans, all by putting forward the threat of legislation and having people react as such, with that new information that, oh, this could be coming down the pipeline, let's make adjustments accordingly. So I agree with where you're coming from, that just because it's going to be hard to pass through some of these bills doesn't mean we shouldn't put through the most progressive legislation we can. Well, we're up against the clock, so we're going to take a break. Our phone lines are filling up, but we still got a couple. Give us a call at 952-946-6205. This is Hunter and Eric on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. Hey, I've only got a few seconds, so here's the deal. Habitation is the coolest furniture store in town. Not only have we got some of the most exceptional furniture in the cities, but in many cases, Habitation can offer you store credit on your existing furniture. Stop in, talk to one of our designers, and let us help you make your home exceptional. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
It's just a few weeks before winter officially settles in. Is your home ready for the holidays? Now is the perfect time to get your entire home zero-resified by the cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get 3 rooms clean starting at just $149. You can also get $50 off your air duct cleaning when you call 952-0-RES, 952-0-RES, or book online anytime at zeroresmn.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
While shopping for a fireplace insert at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, I was amazed at all the choices. Not just gas, electric, or wood-burning, but also built-in or freestanding, and options in every style from antique to modern. The staff really listened to us, explained the options, and helped us choose a fireplace we absolutely love. Now it warms our hearts and our home every winter. Thank you, Woodland Stoves, for a great addition.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak, putting in a word for the EPA Burn Wise campaign. It has important information about clean burning fireplaces. This is an important part of our mission at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. We know that the fireplace has to work. Work with your life, work with your living space, and also be environmentally smart. Come see us. Learn to burn wise. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Visit our store in person or online at woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
This is Fraser and Ross broadcasting from the rainy Pike's Place Market here in beautiful Seattle. No, nice job, Eric. Fraser song.
Mm-hmm.
AM 950 Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Eric Nelson here today. We're talking about Nancy Pelosi as well as a lot of other things. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. But David in Shakopee wanted to talk about Pelosi. David, good to have you.
Hey, Hunter. Good to talk to you again. The thing is, you know, just talking about, you know, if we're going to sacrifice somebody, it's good to sacrifice her. But, I mean, when she ran it back in, you know, 2008, wasn't that the most prolific house, in almost one of the most prolific houses in history? And how much she got through the House and then through the Senate, considering we didn't even have a gerrymander-proof majority for, what, 75 days is all it was? because of what was going on here with Al Franken, you know, and the recounts and the court and then Ted Kennedy. I mean, I think that we're, you know, throwing her under the bus because the right vilified her much the same way they vilified Clinton.
But let me ask you, would you want her to continue after 2020?
I don't see why not.
Based
on experience, she did a decent job. If we can get somebody else in there who's more progressive, great. But I don't think that, you know, we should be so quick to say we should sacrifice her until we can get somebody more progressive. I mean,
but
we
consider
win,
this. Consider that. I'm not going to cut you off. I want you to stay on. But just Nancy Pelosi right now, which I was blown away to find this out, is she's 78 years old. So she doesn't have a long career left. So sacrificing
her
isn't necessarily because we want her to burn in hell, but she's at the end of her career. So I was blown away by that. She looks phenomenal for a 78-year-old lady.
I did not know that until you just said that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
That's a fair assessment. She's approaching, politician retirement age. That's fine. I get that. It just seems like that, you know, it was like, hold on a second, what's going on here? You know, this is a woman who got a lot done in the middle of a huge economic crisis and pushed, you know, our agenda forward by really far.
And
you know, and I just thought she deserved a little more, I don't know, respect maybe. I'm not sure that's the right word.
And we see people like Keith Ellison supported her enthusiastically, and Keith Ellison has been one of the most progressive members in Congress the past several years. So there's a lot of truth to what you're saying as well, but you have to admit that there is a lot of backlash towards her, regardless of how you feel, that this is something that us on the left have to at least talk about.
I agree with that, but I agree that there is some backlash against her, especially on the right. But here's the thing. If we allow the right's backlash against the people who represent us, our side of things, even if they're not as, you know, even if we don't agree with them 110%, if we allow the right to dictate who our leaders are because of who they vilify, mm-hmm. we will never get ahead.
Absolutely. That is a good principle to have. And thank you for the call, David. I appreciate that. People are feeling... on all ends of this, there's Pelosi fans, there's people that absolutely hate Pelosi, and there's people that, like me, are kind of neutral in this decision and are okay with her moving forward.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised to see the big response to Nancy Pelosi. Our phone lines are going crazy.
Yeah, just so you all know, I only had one sentence written down about this. It was going to be something I was talking about for just an introduction into a different topic, but you guys really... showed that this was important to you, so we're going on with it. So let's hear from Paul and Edina, who wants to talk about progressives. Oh, bummer, Paul. Give us a call back. We got a couple minutes left. Well, the story I was going to get to is a local story here. Is four restaurants in Minnesota and Iowa cheated 113 workers out of $831,000 in pay. That is crazy. This is federal authorities have won roughly $830,000 in back pay for more than 100 workers in these Mexican restaurants in southern Minnesota. The back pay, some servers had kickbacks to their hourly wages that the employers just soaked up. Pay deductions for uniforms push workers below minimum wage. Bussers, food runners, cooks, and dishwashers were paid flat salaries regardless of how many hours they worked, leaving them short of the federally required $7.25 hourly wage and at times overtime. So this is quite a tremendous ruling that coming down from the feds and the Labor Department for almost $1 million for 113 Mexican restaurant workers. That is a lot of money to be withholding from people like that. So that's good news. I wonder what will happen to the restaurants. I mean, to come up with all that money. I'm trying to see what the time frame is on this. I don't know when it started at all, but they have until March 2020 to pay off that number. Well, we got Paul and Edina back. Let's speak with Paul.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, got disconnected there.
No worries.
What I wanted to say is that I think I saw that same CNN town hall that you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And the thing that struck me about Nancy is the breadth of her knowledge and how deep it is as well. I mean, she had detailed comebacks for most of the questions that just was so impressive. And because of that, I think she's smart enough to know that this is a different time now. And based on the, you know, now nearly 40 seats we're taking in the House, that it's not going to be a same old from Nancy. I think she's going to be smart enough to be able to respond in a more progressive way and get more progressive things done. And I do like the idea of making the Republicans vote on stuff.
Yeah, I agree too. I think that we do need to have some stuff on the itinerary that they have to vote on. I mean, if you see stuff like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's new Green Deal and anything like that will be helpful going forward.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the call, Paul. And something to remind people, in Nancy Pelosi's history is back in, I believe, 1991, Bernie Sanders started the Progressive Congressional Caucus. And Nancy Pelosi was one of the founding members to join. It wasn't that first year, but it was in the 90s. So when I was reading through the history of that page, and Keith Ellison's a member, and Bernie Sanders continued it onto the Senate, but I was surprised to see Nancy Pelosi's name in that kind of founding members of the group. So, to her credit, she's done a lot of good, but a lot of people have questions with her and problems that they'd like to see addressed in the future. So, we'll see where it goes. But, signing off, Hunter and Eric on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.